Hello, I'm Guy Hedgeco. I'm editor of Iberosphere, and I am in central Madrid in Tirso de Molina with James Blick, a writer and journalist, who is a contributor to Iberosphere, and he has written a review of a novel called Leaving the Atocha Station by Ben Lerner. And James and I are going to be talking a little bit more about this novel. It tells the story of Adam Gordon, a young American who is in Madrid on a scholarship to study the relationship between poetry and the Civil War. And he's in Madrid just for a few months. He strikes up some interesting relationships with both with women and a group of upper-class Spaniards. Also, he's a very neurotic character. He's always taking pills. He's always getting high, getting drunk. There's not a great deal of plot in this novel, James, is there?
At
the heart of it seems to be the sort of the neurotic voice of this narrator, Adam Gordon. What did you make of Adam Gordon as a character?
Well, it's a hard one to unpick at first, because you're sort of surprised by his neuroses. You know what actually I think happens first is that you think, oh God, here we go, a neurotic voice, young male writer. And that's further complicated by the fact that the author's biography mirrors a little bit the characters.
That's right. I should just explain that Ben Lerner, the author, he is a young... Well, he's a poet, an American poet, who himself spent several months in Madrid on a scholarship a few years back, didn't he? So, and in the same way that the character, Adam Gordon, is a young poet on a scholarship.
Exactly. So you start to read this, you know, this... the voice of this neurotic character, and you think, oh God, here we go. But he's so brilliantly neurotic and comically neurotic, yeah, that you enjoy it very much. And, maybe I'm also comically neurotic, but I identified with it. He tracks thought processes, the author tracks thought processes brilliantly, and especially when the character is talking to someone, you know, what's going on in his mind, what he thinks going on in their mind, and we all do that, and so it kind of throws that up at you and makes you realize that you're exactly the same.
Yeah, I mean, something I found fascinating, I did find his voice, the voice of this narrator, fascinating, but also at the same time, you know, a lot of the time I wanted to sort of smack him around the head. He was sort of irritating, and for that reason I'm actually quite glad it's quite a short novel. It's 180 pages. I don't think I could have be able to stand another 100 pages of this neurotic voice, however brilliant it is. This is obviously a novel about an American, what's an extent, about an American in Madrid, an American abroad. How relevant is that? Is that an important part of this?
I think it's important, an important part, because it's an important part. It's an important aspect for the character in a way. He's very aware of being an American abroad. He doesn't go on about it all the time, but he does mention it. He's aware of trying to kind of differentiate himself a little bit from the tourists walking around Puerto del Sol or the other cities he visits. And he sort of, he mentions the Iraq War, which is tangled up with the Madrid bombing. So he talks about United States of Bush. So again, he's kind of playing with fire there a little bit, the author, because like the neurotic character, the kind of American abroad is an archetype which can fall into cliche and within five pages, and I think that speaks to the power of the book, and I'm not sure is the right word, but to the strength of the book, that neither feels trite, his Americanness or his neuroses.
Yeah, because it's not at all romanticized, is it? I mean, it's very place specific. He lives just off, for people who are familiar with Madrid, he lives on or next to Plaza Santa Ana in central Madrid. He spends a lot of time around Huertas. He goes to the Reina Sofia and the Prado to look at paintings. So it's very place specific in that sense. But he doesn't seem to be romanticizing the whole experience. But as someone who lives in Madrid, as a foreigner, I enjoyed that, because this wasn't someone sort of waxing lyrical about the beautiful sunrise over the Retiro or whatever. Although he was going through all these sort of, he's spending time in all these landmark places.
Yeah, no, totally. And I mean, starting the book, why I was attracted to it, because there's a sense of fascination when you're about to read someone who's experiencing what you are experiencing. You know, I've been here for a year and a half, so you sort of wonder how he will discover Madrid, and will his process of discovery be the same as yours? But as you say, he, it is very specific to place, and I think what I found interesting, on the one hand, it is specific to place. He mentions all these places, and he is in these places, and yet the book could have taken place in Paris, and he probably would have had a very similar experience. He would have had the same pocket full of pills, and he would have wandered art galleries and, you know, tried to have sex with local women, and, you know, and I guess that's what we all do, minus the pills. But I think it is specific to place in that sense, but at the same time, it could have taken place anywhere. I think it's specific to his experience in a place rather than specific to his experience in Madrid, in a way.
Yeah, I mean, just and related to that issue, I found it fascinating how he's sort of confused slightly about this group of sort of upper-class Spaniards that he meets, who are they kind of left-wing, I suppose what you call progress here, you know, they're sort of left-wing, but they're very well-heeled. They live in these, you know, these big houses and apartments, and he can't work out where their money comes from.
Exactly.
You know, does it come from their parents? And he has trouble placing people on the social scale, doesn't he? On the social spectrum, because he can't relate it to the American social spectrum. And you know, these are people upper class, they middle class, they working class. These people he meets, and I found that fascinating. And the other thing that I found interesting was this way he was constantly wondering about what impression he was making on people. He's almost crippled by self-consciousness, isn't he? And what is he being mysterious enough when he's talking to someone? Is he coming across as deep enough all the way through the novel, isn't he?
Totally. And I think, again, it's sort of a slightly inflated view of what we all do. You know, we're all concerned about these things, and some are more worried than others. And he's worried, I guess, comically in a sense. It pushes it to a limit that becomes funny. And I mean, it kind of intertwined with that is his unsureness of, as you say, all these people around him. You know, the interesting thing, I guess, in America, you know where someone's money comes from, because it certainly doesn't come from, you know, 500 years ago and has been sort of filtered through the family. So that was very interesting. And like you say, the sort of these wealthy people who just sort of jump on the fast train to Barcelona without thinking and know a great restaurant, very different from the kind of experience that we all have, you know, when you're sort of, you know, trying to get the best price and things like that. And I thought that was interesting with their politics. At one point he sees a photo in one of the wealthy girls' houses of a well-heeled Spanish family in the 50s, and he wonders what that says about their politics, you know, i.e. fascists. So I think all of this is very confusing for all of us, you know, when you're trying to nut out a place. And he, you know, this character with his neuroses kind of riffs on that and has fun with it in a way.
And the other thing that is confusing and what was sort of comic effect throughout the novel is his relationship with the Spanish language, isn't it? Because he arrives obviously not with a very strong grasp of Spanish, and his Spanish sort of improves throughout, you know, his months in Madrid. But at the beginning in particular, he has this curious relationship. Maybe it's partly because he's a sort of literary guy, he's a poet, he reads a lot. But when he's speaking to someone in Spanish and he has trouble understanding what they're saying, instead of just blanking out or not understanding at all, he kind of picks up words and he kind of makes different meanings. You know, someone's talking to him about something that seems very important and he thinks, well, they're talking about the moon, or was it they're talking about a bar called the moon, or, you know, and he gets all these different parallel meanings and wonders which one of those is really what this person is saying. And he has that classic experience at one point where he's sitting around a campfire with some friends and they're camping out, and he's got this sort of permanent grin on his face to try and show that he's proved that he understands everything. And there's a girl telling something, a very tragic story about her, her family. He doesn't realise it's a tragic story, he just thinks it's another anecdote, so he's grinning like an idiot. And it causes all sorts of problems for him, doesn't it?
He gets punched in the face.
He gets punched in the face, exactly, yeah. And I find that, you know, I mean, anyone who's lived abroad in a country where, you know, it's not your own language isn't spoken, I suppose has had that experience, haven't they?
Totally. I mean, God, you know, welcome to my world, less so, but, you know, 1 year ago, and I'm sure yours too when you first arrived here. And but that it's a very simple and kind of obvious insight, and that's what's so brilliant about putting it in the book, is, you know, simple and obvious works because we identify with it. But he does it with grace and style, this kind of you know, the web of narratives that can come off what this person might be saying. And God, we've all sat there. And also the fixing your face in a grin or a frown. You know, you still do it sometimes with people you don't quite understand, you know. You know, my father-in-law being one of them, and it's like, you know, should I frown, you know, grin or laugh, you know? So I thought it was very funny and very true, and I'd be interesting to know if that rings kind of true for people who haven't lived abroad in some other way. Would they still kind of get it, you know?
Well, James Blick and I have been talking about Leaving the Atocha Station by Ben Lerner. It's out in hardback, published by Coffee House Press.